I could hardly believe the way we shouldn't be surprised, but the way the Spirit is moving here this morning, because I think Brother John hit on some things that are really critical, and I wasn't even going to do this because we're getting close here, and I'm going to try and do this very quickly, but I think he was just touching on something that we didn't plumb the depth of. I don't think the Lord is finished with this thought. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes and entreats us, we don't always know how to respond. We don't even always know what he's saying, do we? We feel something, but it's how do you respond? And we have a lot of reasons for not knowing how to respond. We're afraid. Image is always a big thing. And it kind of goes back to what he was saying in the beginning. You can't recognize your need for help unless you recognize your need. And our needs go deep, don't they? They go very deep. And I want you to turn for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I just want to underline this, what he's been talking about, and take it one step further, that we would see that God has put in your heart and in my heart a responsibility to one another and an ability to be able to do something about the needs we see, and a responsibility to do something about it, not just look at it and feel sorry or we'll pray for you this week, but actually something that we can do about it. And I've seen a scripture here in a little different light than I've seen it in times past. And it's been underlined in my life because of a situation I've gone through over the last maybe year and a half. Have you ever had anybody misunderstand what you said? You said it as clear as you could, and your intent, well, you knew your intent, right? You know your own intent with what you meant by what you said, and they didn't hear what you said. In fact, they heard it so differently that when it was returned to you, it hurt. Is anybody, you heard me say that? I didn't say that. I've even gone back to the tape to confirm I didn't say that. And so this was something that was repeating for a long time. And this is as a personal testimony, you'll see where this is coming from. I went through an experience that was needful. God had to take me through this or I wouldn't have learned it. Because the transition was victim. I was very offended. Now, I had a right to be offended, I thought, because I did not mean that. And I didn't. And I didn't say it that way either. So when it comes back to you, you think, how in the world did you get that out of that? So you're a little bit angry, a little bit bitter. And that demands that I justify myself. So then when you say it again and again and it keeps happening, oh my gosh. Well, it really put me on my face before God. And God began to do something in my life requiring a new responsibility of me towards the prisoners that I never saw before. And this and another passage we're going to look at, 2 Corinthians 5. And let's just pick it up in verse 17. I know that you know very well, but I want to slow down on a couple points. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what John was talking about. Sometimes we remember the old one, though. But like I was saying Wednesday night, you got to constantly be reckoning. I am not that anymore. Even if I've still got a couple of the marks left till I straighten up and get a better posture, right? It's like our dear sister Leanne over here still feels a little guilty about smoking. don't worry about it. But that'll fall off. But you are not who you used to be. Old things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now here, listen to this. And hath given to us, what? He has given to you what he did. Now he actually did something for the whole human race. Past, present, and future. He reconciled them all back to God. So you don't have to do what he did. That's not our calling to do what he did. But I want you to see what our calling is. We don't have to die for creation like he did. Our blood is not going to atone for the sins of the world. That was for the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, who came to do that. But in order for them to know what he did, he's putting that in your hands. And here's how it works. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit or to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And here's what that looks like. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And let's say the last line together, shall we? And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What did he commit to you? The same thing he did. Not imputing, that's the word you're to be reconciling people with. I am not allowed, Eric, to impute your trespasses to you. How many times have you held somebody in a box based on what they did to you, because you were a victim of that, based on your knowledge of them, memories, experiences, whatever it is, we all have our stories. I am not allowed, if I'm in Christ, to impute your trespasses to you. In fact, I'm to be the opposite. I am to minister to you the word of reconciliation. And this word here, does anybody want to take a guess at what this Greek word, what the Greek is on the word? It's the logos. Minister to you the word. It's not just, I've got something to tell you today, Eric. No, it's the word. It's the logos. Remember what the logos is. The word spoken, including the thought. The word spoken, including the thought. That means my thinking has been so renovated by the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me that when I look at my brother in his trespasses, I have the ability for the word, the logos, in my thought life to become flesh like it did with Jesus and manifest on my brother's behalf so that I can make him free. You got a responsibility to make your brother free. More than just ignore the burr they are under your saddle. First of all, we get our own heart right, don't we? That all, how many things are of God? So God lets it all happen. He works both ends towards the middle, right? And I discover God was requiring me to do something in this situation. That I had to begin to minister the word of reconciliation. And sometimes that just happens on your knees, where you're pulling down imaginations and every evil thing, and it's time on your face before God to begin to war in the heavenlies against spiritual wickedness in high places and begin to deliver the word, not imputing trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, let's say it together. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Stop. Beseech you by us. We are ambassadors. And we are beseeching one another according to the sure mercies of David. And more than that, we've been given the word. This is not a light thing, saints, that he's put in your power. He did the redemptive work. But we are carrying the word of reconciliation. You know, the best place to start, obviously, is right at home with your spouse. It's where we get to practice. Right? Right? It's where we get to practice. With yourself. But God gives us little arenas. He's not going to turn you loose on the world yet. When I can't get it right with my wife. Or little, this is what, I like how Brother Buddy calls it, a laboratory. That's really what we're doing. We're running experiments. Are we actually going to be successful? I mean, how successful are you at setting yourself free from the trespasses you may have imputed to them? Based on what? Experience. You're always going to be that way. You did it last time. You're going to do it again. You're not moving anything different then. But God's actually given us the power to get above that and minister. And you know, you'll never bring deliverance to any situation until you first do not impute trespass. If I hold something against you in my heart, I can't deliver you. Right? I cannot be used as an ambassador if I have a private agenda. I can't rent my own interest. I represent His. Now, how many sins does love cover? So I can't afford now to hold them against you. I actually have to be an ambassador for Christ and minister to you the way He ministered to all of creation. Amen? Okay, so, and he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Okay, here's how it works. Look with me in Leviticus 14. This is the word the Lord gave me today. And I thought, I don't know where. When John started ministering, I thought, well, this will be for another time. And then as he continued, I realized, God, this is what God was saying. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. This is the whole ritual of the cleansing of the lepers. It goes through the garments and through the man and through the house, how to deal with leprosy. We all know what leprosy is. It's a terrible disease. It still exists in the world today. Not as bad as it may have at one time. But it's a disease that basically destroys the nerves and the nerve endings in your body so that you don't feel pain. You know, some people can be so hurt and trodden down, they don't feel anymore. Mm-hmm. And people die from leprosy, not from leprosy, but from all the diseases and things they get because they can't take care of themselves properly. But it's a disease of no feeling. So it says, who pass feeling. Because of the blindness of their heart. That's leprosy, says in Colossians. And so, people of God need feeling, don't they? You have to be able to feel His touch. Have you ever been in a cold, dry place where you couldn't feel His touch? I have. There's nothing so sweet when you feel the gentle touch of the shepherd again. There's nothing so sweet is to know His touch. You're to be an ambassador of that touch. Hello. The gentle touch of the... I'm not saying there's not hard words. There are. There are words that come like hail. The Scripture says that'll sweep away the refuge of lies. But everything in God has a balance, doesn't it? Sometimes there's far too much hail and not enough of the ambassador ministering the word of reconciliation. And I don't believe God will ever truly use you and I as with the ability to administer tough judgment unless it's been balanced with love, with redemption, with mercy. And so I like to say, you know, before with all that, but ambassadors, we are ministering reconciliation. Verse 1 of Leviticus 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought into the priest. Are you a priest this morning? We are priests after the order of Melchizedek, aren't we? That's why you've been given the word of reconciliation. That's what a priest does. He's able to administer it. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Notice all the ministration that is going on for somebody's benefit. A lot of ministration. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all his hair off his head, his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, shall wash his clothes, wash his flesh in water, and shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and one log of oil. I'm not going to go into all this morning, but how many know you have an eighth day experience? You have an eighth day life in Christ. It's a new beginning every day. His mercies are new every morning. And so as ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation, we are not yet, let me say this, we are not yet in the time frame as God's priests to minister eternal judgment. Hello. We are not in the dispensation of eternal judgment. So as the ambassadors, it's coming. It is coming. I was thinking when he's talking about the wandering stars. Stars are sons of God. And it says there will be wandering stars to whom is reserved the mist of darkness forever. That means sons of God. At some point when judgment is passed, they knew him, but they never made their calling and election sure, and they're expelled to darkness forever. That's not very... But that's not my job to tell you that, no. Whoever this priesthood is, they're even going to judge angels at the end of it. But what we are dispensers of right now is not that eternal judgment. We're dispensers of the reconciliation and mercy and grace of God that's available if you have ears to hear. And we're to deliver that word constantly. And it'll fall on all kinds of ground. That's not our business of what kind of ground the seed falls on. We're just to keep administering the seed. Administering the seed, speaking the word, as an ambassador of Christ. That's why we don't want to get too worried about how Christ is preached. That's a mature person like Paul who could say, some preach him out of envy. Some preach him out of strife. Who cares? At least he's getting preached. That's mature. Where you're not worried about how his name, because that's not our job to know. Every man's just got to operate in the gift God's called him to operate and sow accordingly and keep ministering this word of reconciliation and towards the leper. Now, notice how this is going to, I just wanted to read all that for context because your part comes in here. And so in verse 11, and the priest that maketh him clean, how about that? And the priest that maketh him clean. What would you do for a brother or a sister if you said, oh, I pronounce you clean? You set them free, wouldn't you? I pronounce you clean from anything I've ever held in my heart against you. Any trespass I've ever imputed to you, will you forgive me? You want to make somebody clean? Ask them for forgiveness. I pronounce you clean, Paul. I release you from the concepts and mental images that I put on you and that you put on me. Somebody's got to take the high ground here. Not all of us are going to be able to take the high ground, but we should be able to put the word out there so that we all have a vision to walk towards. Can you imagine if everybody in a local church takes the high ground? Boy, you'd have some, wouldn't you? If everybody took the high ground, I won't impute your trespasses to you. How many of you have trespassed against a brother or sister? Every single one. So we're all, it's a level playing ground, isn't it? We have all trespassed. We have all gone astray. So we all owe it to one another to say, you've done it, I've done it, I'm not going to impute it to you. Instead, as an ambassador, I'm going to speak a different kind of word. Remember what I was talking about Wednesday night, that you abound with all utterance? Remember that? Utterance is that logos again. We're to abound in uttering that word of reconciliation and redemption and setting one another free. Amen? Setting one another free. And the priest that maketh him clean, that's you. Say that's me. You can make your brother clean. How do you make him clean? Stop harboring bitterness, resentment in your heart against him. You can make him clean. You can release one another from the bondages and the chains. Every one of us have done it because we've watched each other's track record and judge him accordingly. Well, if the great good shepherd doesn't judge you by your history, why should we? Because right now, we are not yet ministers of judgment. We're ministers of reconciliation. And I kind of think, you check me on this, I kind of think if we don't pass the test as a faithful minister of reconciliation, we'll never sit on the thrones of David judging angels. Who do we think we are? That we're going to judge angelic beings? If I can't pass the test and walk in the same footsteps my master did, who went all lost him and said, forgive them. They've got no clue what they're doing, but I do. A perspective so high that put to death justly didn't bother him a bit. He knew it was the very means of their redemption. The opportunity to forgive you is a means of your redemption. God lets it happen. How many things are of God? So He lets you do things to me and me do things to you, or else how would you ever learn how to do it? It's like the tree we were talking about Wednesday night. Too sterile of soil is not good for a plant. If you want to build some immunity into it, you got to have some thing light. So it grows out of corruption and breathes out oxygen. I like that. I like it. We are these priests. Shall present the man as to be made clean in those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb, offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. He shall slay the lamb at the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering place. For as the sin offering is priests, so is the trespass offering. What this means is that once you have been validated as a priest, you have the ability to also administer the trespass. The sin offering is for the priest. That's for the nature. That's what it's for. It wasn't a transgression. The sin offering actually dealt with. That's why you had a sin offering and a trespass offering. The trespass offering is the ability of the priest to minister. I can minister to you regardless of your trespass. But we often draw back in the trespass because we fall under that victim mentality instead of not imputing. Right? I know that's not you, Eric. That is not who you are. You're a new creature in Christ. So I don't impute that to you. And here's how you do it. Watch this. I love it. Verse 14 now. And the priest, that's you, shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear. This was the word the Lord spoke to me in my personal experience. He said, anoint their ear. Anoint their ear. I'd never, if God would not, my mind would not go this direction. I'm going to argue with you for you to see my point. That would be more of I'll argue with you till you get the point. And in prayer, what are you laughing for? You know it's true, huh? But and the Lord said, anoint their ear. Well, isn't that a novel idea? Got down on my knees before God and began to anoint the tip of my ear to start praying, fearing. So the source and the receptacle are powerful. Because the word preached, that's the source. That's coming right out of the man, right? That's the seed. The word preached, not being mixed with faith. That woman, that's a receptacle, had no profit in those that heard it. So you have to have both, don't you? What good is, you know, all power if it doesn't have somewhere to go? Right? There's no shortage of power, saints. There is enough power locked up in you to do all that ever needs to be done for you and all around you. Boy, we might nod our heads, but I don't know that we really know that yet. Remember the little widow woman? Elisha said, "What have you got?" "Nothing. A little bit of oil." "Well, how much do you need?" "You just a little bit of oil." "Well, what did he say?" "Go gather all the empty vessels you can find." Now what he told her? "Go gather all the empty vessels and start pouring it out." Guess what she discovered? She ran out of vessels before she ran out of oil. Somebody ought to be jumping up on their chair, because you got enough oil in you for every vessel in this place. What's it for? Not impute trespasses. Just keep pouring it into the empty vessels. You talk about pressed down, shaking together, and running over. If we're all doing it with the little we have, and if that's enough to feed everybody, and everybody's doing it, that's how the world is going to find the glorious liberty of the children of God. So he gives us a little place to practice. And it's not so hard to look at yourself and say, "I'm not really measuring up." Right? We should do that, shouldn't we? Examine ourselves. "I'm not really moving the way I could be. I've taken the talent God gave me and possibly I buried it. Well, it's time to dig it up and invest it." Amen? Invest it. Invest the little bit of oil you got. Pray for one another. Put it on the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and he pours it into the palm of his left hand. And then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest, that means all of this is done is unto the Lord. Pour the oil in your hand. Right? Anoint your brother. Ear, thumb, toe. And it's all here in your hand. That's what God's given it to you. It's not somewhere you got to go. He's put it all right here in your hand. And it's all being done is unto the Lord. You take it, sprinkle it as unto the Lord. This is all for you, Lord. 7 times, a perfect number. It's all unto you. I'm doing this as unto you. I'm not doing it for a reputation. I'm not doing it for credit. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm not trying to show how humble I am. This is all unto you, and the oil is right here in your hand. Sprinkle it as unto the Lord. While we anoint the ears, while we anoint the thumb. You know what that is? Who remembers our early teachings? What does that thumb mean? That's the apostolic ministry. I like how Bill Greer calls us an apostolic family. I like that phrase, because what the apostle has that no other ministry has is the blueprint. They've got the blueprint, and they can touch all the other ministries. I still remember Tony Materic teaching on that, and I was just a little guy. They can touch all the... Do you know God wants you to have locked up inside of you the apostolic blueprint for the house? Do you know you're called to be a wise master builder? Isn't that what Paul said? So I'm just as a wise master builder. Every one of us are to get a hold of the blueprint. Don't just trust the preacher. You should know it well enough to check up on what he's saying. Because if you've got the blueprint, you'll know when he's drawing, sketching something different. So, whoop, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit on top. You don't need man. God uses man. But it's those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Amen? Sprinkle it before the Lord. Verse 17, and of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed. Did I read that already? Upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand. He shall pour it on the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. That's enough. Wow. You talk about setting a brother free. Touch his hearing. Remind him. Remind him of the vision. Remind him that he's got an apostolic call on his life. The apostle is just sent. They're sent as an ambassador. They're not out trumpeting their own message or their own view or their own doctrine. They're an ambassador to lay out to God's people the blueprint of the house so that we can all build according to the pattern. Right? There's nothing worse than having somebody working beside you who doesn't know how to swing a hammer, doesn't know how to hold a nail, doesn't know how to use a tape measure, doesn't know how to do any of that. Like they're just in the way. Right? And they're still collecting a paycheck. So what God wants is people trained. And isn't that what the mystery is supposed to be for? God put gifts in the church. And those gifts are called ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what are they for? For the perfecting and the equipping of the saints. For to what end? To what end? So that though they can do the work of the ministry. It's not just to isolate sheep. You know, that's how that whole thing. And here's what they actually call sheep are stupid. That was one of their sayings. Sheep are stupid, and they need shepherds. But that's not what God wants. We're all sheep, by the way, and there's nothing worse than a ministry thinking he's not. So we're all the sheep of his pasture, and among God set certain gifts to comfort and exhort one another, helpers together in the faith. Amen? Gift is never to be used for ourselves, but it's to be used as a ministration of the king towards one another. And it's always about help him here. Not my voice. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Help people get joined to the Lord. Goes on there in Corinthians, we didn't finish, but you can say, be reconciled. Be ye reconciled. What are you doing? As an ambassador, you're moving, you're abounding in utterance, and you're helping the ear. Start praying for people's hearing. If you've got a real burden for them, that they'll really begin to hear. Because the word preached, if it's not mixed with faith, and faith comes by, it has no profit. See, that's the male-female operation. The word preached is the impartation coming from the man. And it doesn't matter who's up here, they're just a vessel. But if it's coming from the anointing, it's coming as an impartation from the man. But the woman also has a part, doesn't she? You can't have conception of an egg. So what that is faith. The word's coming from the man. The faith has got to be stirred up where? In your soul, in your heart. Because you believe where? In your heart. And so as you mix it with faith, the inner man is strengthened. And so anytime you stand up here before God's people, if you're in the anointing, you're moving in the man. And anytime I come on a one-on-one, if I'm not here, I am moving in the man. And what should I be doing? Touching your ear. How are you hearing today, brother? Touching the thumb. So we rehearse the blueprint together. Are we building according to the pattern? Touch the toe of the right foot. Four. You ever try and walk without it? You got to relearn to walk without your big toe. Touch the walk. Examine the walk. And you're still going to have some left over for your brother. Just slap it on there all over his head. Anoint his mind. That's your call. As a priest. As an ambassador. Carrying the logos. Which is God's thinking. To be made flesh. And I'm a vessel. Just like Jesus was. God was being manifested in the flesh. And when he was, the word, which was God's thinking, became visible as our redemption. Can you say amen? Now let's go do the same. Don't worry about the whole world out there. Just worry about the one God puts in front of you. Enough. Starting right here. Worry about this one. And then your spouse. And then the little garden God puts you in. Don't worry about anything else. If God puts somebody in front of you and you see the Father moving, remember Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear, unless I see the Father doing it. So you're not going out there looking for things to harvest. But when God puts something in front of you, you're to be instant to give account of the hope, wherever it is. I don't care where it is. The middle of Walmart, the middle of Peru, or Sometimes we forget to do it right at home. We'll do it somewhere else, but we forget our brother and our sister right here at home. Amen? Let's be ambassadors for the King. Ministers of reconciliation. Where's that word to be? Nigh you, even in your mouth. Speak it out. Begin to declare who you are in Christ and who your brother is in Christ, and not imputing our trespasses. Let's stand.